The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty, and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Looking to end the year strong? Join Planet Fitness now through December 30th for $1 down, $15 a month, and pay nothing until January 17th. With top-tier strength and cardio equipment, free fitness training, and most clubs open 24 hours, everyone can level up in the judgment-free zone. Why wait to start feeling stronger? Get moving now. Join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime, and pay nothing until January 17th. Don't miss out. Deal ends Monday, December 30th. See club for details.
BSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in, third and final hour of the program here on Monday morning, and we are going to be joined now by our guest, Audrey Morris-Gasteyer, the Executive Director of the Health Connector, to talk about the open enrollment period, which is fast coming to a close. Good morning, Audrey. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm great. Thanks so much for having me on today.
Oh, thanks for joining us and talking about something that I know is very important for our audience to know about, especially with the deadline looming to be able to sign up.
It's true. Yes, today is the last day to sign up for health coverage through the Massachusetts Health Connector, which is our state's health insurance exchange or marketplace. It's the last day to sign up for you to be able to line up health coverage that starts on the first of the new year. So you can start the new year off with the peace of mind and security that comes with having great high-value health insurance coverage for your family.
So with that in mind, with today being the final day, there is still time for people to be able to sign up, though. What would the process be for them to sign up today?
Absolutely. So people can come to our website, which is mahealthconnector.org, and they can fill out an application right there online. They can do that through midnight, but they should do it sooner just so they're not waiting until the very, very last minute. They can also give us a call at our call center, which is 877-MA-ENROLL, and we will be the call center will be open until 6 p.m. tonight. People are also welcome to reach out to organizations in our communities across Massachusetts called Navigators. And these are organizations and staff that are specifically trained to help walk people through an application, especially if they've never done it before. We know it can be a little overwhelming, intimidating. People may have questions. So Navigators are a great resource that people can reach out to. We have a bunch in the South Coast area, in New Bedford and Fall River and Taunton. But you can, if you go to our website, mahealthconnector.org, and click on Help Center, you can find local help. You can find a navigator near you. You can sit down with or talk over the phone. So there's lots of ways for people to get across the line today and make sure they are starting the year with health coverage.
And, you know, we've talked in the past about with people signing up for health insurance that, you know, for a lot of times they have questions, they need help, they need assistance. And what the Health Connector is so great at is making sure that people get that help that they need so that they're signing up for exactly the insurance that they need. And they're not overpaying for something that they won't use or not getting enough insurance for themselves with all of the challenges that can come in the coming year.
Absolutely. We try to make the process as easy as possible. We also know the kinds of barriers people tend to think about when they worry about, should I sign up for health coverage? What will I qualify for? So there's all sorts of resources available on our website, through our navigators, if you call us. And one of the things we hear from people is, I'm worried I won't be able to afford it. So it's important for people to know that most people who sign up for coverage through the Health Connector do qualify for help lowering the cost of their health care, their premiums, their cost sharing. Most people who sign up for coverage through us qualify for a special program called Connector Care that has low premiums, low copays, no deductibles. We're actually in a two-year pilot program right now that expanded the number of people who qualify for that special help that the state helps support. So it's just really important that people come, find out what they're eligible for, sign up for a plan. It's just such an important part of financial security and healthcare access. So we try to make the process as easy as possible for folks.
So those who, you know, there's a lot of folks who this time of year are signing up through their work for plans, and they might be saying to themselves, gee, this is more than I paid in the past, and I don't know if I can afford this anymore. Should those people be reaching out to the Health Connector to see what some of their other options may be?
So anybody can sign up for health coverage through the Health Connector. To qualify for subsidized insurance through the Health Connector, you have to not qualify for affordable coverage through your employer. Mm-hmm. But the whole application process makes that easy for people. There's actually a calculation that determines if your employer-sponsored coverage is considered affordable to you. If not, you can qualify for subsidized health. But regardless, people should check out their options because there may be a better option for them through the Health Connector. So it's really good for people to do that comparison shopping and see what makes the most sense for them and their household.
And of course, we know in Massachusetts, you know, you're required to have health insurance. And that's, you know, one of the important questions they're going to ask you on your tax return every year is if you had health insurance. But in the years now that since this has become a requirement, we've seen people sign up and be able to be insured, and it's paying off. It's paying dividends in the long run for people's health. You're probably seeing people needing less health insurance coverage on an emergency basis because they're getting preventative care now from having an active plan.
That's absolutely right. We're really proud of the work we've done here in Massachusetts. We have the highest rate of health insurance coverage in the entire country. It's over 97%. We're still trying to reach that last 3%. So if you're listening and you're one of them or know someone, please help them sign up for coverage. But you're absolutely right. We know we can see in our 18-year history here in Massachusetts of providing this additional support to people to make their coverage affordable, requiring people to have that coverage. We are considered the healthiest state in the country. And it's because, not to say we don't have many challenges, of course we do, but we know that having health coverage really does help people make sure they're getting their preventive care taken care of, making sure they're getting screenings and they're catching things earlier than they might otherwise, or catching things before they develop and they need to go to an emergency room to treat it rather than being able to treat it, you know, in a more manageable way up front. So there's so many, you know, reduced medical debt and all those things we worry about for people that might not have health insurance. So really important that people take advantage of all of the work we do in the state to make sure there's affordable coverage available to everyone, and we're bringing everybody into the ranks of the insured.
And I would hope that there aren't people that are listening to this who have waited to the last minute and need in-person help, but there are places available where people can go and get in-person assistance today.
That's exactly right. So our navigators are the best place to go and get in-person assistance today. So again, you can go to our website, mahealthconnector.org, and go to the Help Center button. But we've got navigators throughout New Bedford, through the Fishing Partnership, PACE, Community Economic Partnership, and Fall River. We're at Health First Family Care Center and Taunton at Manet Health Center. There's folks who can help you in person with your application, with your questions. But for folks who feel comfortable doing it online, today is the last day to go online at mahealthconnector.org and make sure you fill out that application, pick a plan, make a payment if applicable by the end of today, the 23rd, so you can line up your coverage for January 1st.
And everything on the website is safe and secure. People have should have no concerns about putting in their information into the site.
Nope. Entirely secure, though I will say people should not Google for health insurance. It's really important you come directly to our website, mahealthconnector.org. There are entities and actors out there that sell health insurance that's not really, doesn't meet state or federal standards and is not the Health Connector. So very important you come directly to our website. Don't Google around for health insurance. Make sure you're coming directly to the Commonwealth official health insurance marketplace, the Health Connector.
All right. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us and for informing everybody. And hopefully we get that last 3% signed up today.
Yes. Well, I thank you for your help, helping us get the word out.
All right. Happy holidays to you and your family.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you as well.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
And again, that is Audrey Gasteyer. She is the... Hold on. I can't believe I just dropped that. I'm sorry. I apologize. I didn't mean to drop that so quickly on you. My fault. But that does have a tendency to happen sometimes when I press the buttons too quickly. But Audrey Morse-Gasteyer, the executive director of the Health Connector, for joining us and for informing everybody about this very important bit of information for today. Again, mahealthconnector.org is the place to go to sign up. And I've gone through the Health Connector in the past, found it to be very helpful, very easy to navigate, very easy to sign up for the first time, but then even easier in the future when you need to renew something. That is always the, the initial signing up is always the part that takes a little bit longer. And then the renewal every year was just dependent on what I needed to change. So if you don't have health insurance already, make sure you sign up today. It is the last day that you're able to do it. And then you'll be fully covered for 2025. Now, the other part about health insurance is, as I mentioned, it's a requirement in Massachusetts for you to have it, or else you pay a penalty on your taxes for not having it. And you may have options through your employer and all of that. Make sure you save that paperwork. Make sure you save everything. Keep it all in a file somewhere so that when the time comes, you have it. I was talking about this with our benefits advisor here. And I said, you know, one of the things that I like about the way our company works is that we have a repository for all that stuff online. So anytime I need to find any of that information, I can go right to the portal and be able to download all that information or read it online or what have you. So I can see all of my benefits. I can see all of my copays. I can see everything right there. But not everybody has that option. So keep that paperwork. The same way, remember back in the old days, when you would get your car insurance every year and you would take the policy and you'd put it into the glove box, right? Is that what everybody else did? That's what I always did. I kept my car insurance policy, that big packet that they would send you, I would keep that in the glove box along with the registration, the title, although I was told it's not a good idea to keep the title in the car, but that's where I would keep it so that I knew that it was there. And then eventually I became an adult and got a lockbox and kept important documents in the lockbox. And then I moved it into there. But it was, you know, that's anything important, that's where I kept it. And then I had folders in my desk. Anything important that wasn't the car, that's where it went. So make sure you keep all that paperwork, even if you have it available to you online. It's worth printing out and having on hand. One of the great things about the public library is if you don't have a printer at home, you can always go there and print out documents that you need. I don't know what they charge. I know it was 5 cents a card, 10 cents a copy, 10 cents a printed page at the Wareham Library, but it's worth it if you don't have a printer. Or you can go to a Staples, or you can go to the UPS store over here. They'll all print for you for very short money so that you can have that printed copy to be able to go through. And I was saying this the other day, we got so much thrown at us with this insurance that I signed up for, and I've gotten a lot more coverage for less money than I had in the past, but I don't know that I remember every single thing that I got. So I'm going to be printing all that out, putting it in a little binder, and keeping that in my desk so that if I get into a situation, I can refer back to that. Now, they always, you know, the advisors say, just call us if you have any questions and enter into any situations and we'll go over all your options with you. But I'd like to know, you know, like this year, well, in 2025, I'll have a benefit where if I go in the hospital, I'll get paid every day I'm in the hospital. That would have come in handy last year where I spent a lot of time in the hospital. But it's all these things, you know, hopefully I don't have to ever go back, but you never know. So we will continue on with the discussion at 508-996-0500. We will continue on with conversations that we've been having all morning. I've been playing some novelty Christmas songs. I'll probably continue to do that. But we have the statement from Ward 2 Councilor Maria Giesta regarding the information that was printed about her on Wailing City Live on Facebook. And I'm assuming, you know, part of that is also responding to what Chris McCarthy's been saying here on South Coast Now, because I think part of the Wailing City Live discussion is referencing what Chris has been saying, I'm assuming. Because, again, this is not journalism, what was printed. This is rumor. This is a social media post. This does not fall under the auspices of journalism. This isn't a report. I mean, I guess they refer to the person who wrote it, Joe Barros, as the Wailing City Live journalist. But it does not say, like, this is a, you know, a report or an investigation or anything. It just says local citizens are accusing Maria Giesta. And it's basically a people are saying. And I would warn you that when you hear people are saying, quite often people are saying things that are incorrect or being mischaracterized. And this is part of the problem that I take with this. And I've been hearing Chris talk about it, and I've kind of avoided jumping into it because obviously I don't have the same sources that he has. He's talking to different people than I am, and he knows a little bit more about what's been going on. But I'm just looking at this from the perspective of a city councilor only has so much power and can only do so much. And the bigger issue here is that this is further unnecessary divisiveness being tried to be pushed into a body that, it looks like snowflurries are coming down, that already has issues being on the same page sometimes. And so there's a group of people that are going to be voting for Shane Burgo to be city council president. There's a group of people that don't want him to be city council president. And there's people who've been calling in that say, you know, that'll be the end of the city as we know it if he becomes city council president, as if somehow the city council president has that kind of power. And there's already, well, what happens if Mayor Mitchell leaves? Well, we don't know because there is no plan of succession, because they haven't finalized that. But Shane Burgo will not defund the police as city council president. He has to pass the budget that the rest of the council votes for. And Ian Abreu and Brian Gomes and Sean Oliver and Leo Chiquette are all still on that city council and will all still be pushing for fully funding the police. I know, you know, those councilors in particular, I don't know that others wouldn't also be the same mindset. So that's not going to happen. You're not going to see the police get defunded. I mean, everybody gets defunded by the city council. They always have to make cuts to the budget. And in this Wailing City Live post, it mentions Shane Burgo's political stance is described as far left. So what? What is he going to implement as city council president? As I said, even if he somehow had the power to create homeless encampments, which he doesn't, the homeless people aren't going to go there. The service providers don't want to put them there. It's all just people arguing for the sake of arguing. Let's take a phone call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. Merry Christmas to you, sir.
To you as well.
I got a question for you. Well, actually not a question, a statement. I think she has to kind of put herself into this situation herself because she chooses not to speak to the media.
True.
I mean, it's that simple. If you want to let the talking heads, and, you know, it's not just WBSM. Like you said, there's various other outlets, and those outlets are growing, you know, by the day now in the new media world we live in. But she has chosen not to talk. So guess what? People are talking, and until she gets out there and, you know, she puts a statement, she still won't talk to you. That's kind of shady as well. You know, she should get on the radio or get an interview and give her two cents on what she's being accused of, because it some of the stuff is outrageous. You know, $20 million for six apartments and, you know, some office space. She needs to explain that. She needs to explain why that's so important to her, not just her constituents, but to the city, because that's city money she's using. So I think that's the problem. She's her own worst enemy. I don't know the lady. You know, I'm not overly impressed with her, but she needs to get out there and do some of her own PR. And,
Is there also something to her statement that she said where, you know, you don't address things that aren't worth addressing, that you don't defend yourself against stupid statements?
Oh, absolutely. And if a stupid question comes up in an interview, or if a stupid, just say, hey, that's ridiculous, I'm not answering that, but I will talk to you about funding for the police, I will talk to you about the school, you know, stuff like that. It's basic PR, and she's been in the political game for a lot of years. She knows that. So to be hiding from the citizens of New Bedford is not good. And guess what? Serves the citizens of New Bedford right for putting up with it. because we continually elect people who don't want to talk to you guys. And that's wrong. So, you know, it's part of it's on the voter and part of it's on Giesta. She needs to answer some questions, at least talk to the people that voted for her, you know?
All right. Thank you for the call. You have a good day.
Thanks, Tim. Take care.
And we do have to take a break here. Callers, hang on. We will get to you, but we'll be back in just a few moments. All right, caller, we will get to you right after the news, but I got to give way to Phil Devitt in the WBSM newsroom.
Trump looking at ways to end birthright citizenship. 5 injured at a Texas mall after a truck crashes through the building. And what came out on top at the weekend box office?
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President-elect Donald Trump's team is assessing multiple options to fulfill his long-promised pledge to end birthright citizenship. This, according to two sources familiar with the discussions, this is now teeing up a legal fight with the expectation that the Supreme Court would ultimately have to rule on the matter. Trump has railed against birthright citizenship, which is protected by the 14th Amendment, for years, and suggested he'd use executive action to ban it. Trump also says he wants to rename Alaska's Mount Denali back to Mount McKinley. Two U.S. Navy pilots shot down on Sunday over the Red Sea in an apparent friendly fire incident, according to the U.S. military. This marking the most serious incident to threaten troops in over a year of America targeting Yemen's Houthi rebels. Both pilots were recovered alive after ejecting from their stricken aircraft, one suffering minor injuries. But the shootdown underlines just how dangerous the Red Sea corridor has become, with ongoing attacks on shipping by the Iranian-backed Houthis, despite U.S. and European military coalitions patrolling the area. Chaos erupted at a Texas mall on Saturday when a pickup truck fleeing police crashed through the doors of a JCPenney store. The driver continued to drive through the store, injuring 5 people before being fatally shot by officers. The incident began with a police chase after reports of erratic driving. The driver then drove into the mall parking lot and rammed through the store, striking multiple people inside. 5 victims taken to hospitals with injuries. Multiple law enforcement officers exchanging gunfire with the suspect, who was killed at the scene. The U.S. Department of Justice has filed a lawsuit against the state of Louisiana, alleging widespread and systemic overdetention of inmates. The suit claims that thousands of individuals are held in prison beyond their release dates, violating their constitutional rights. The practice, which has been ongoing for years, cost taxpayers millions of dollars annually. The DOJ warned Louisiana last year about the issues, but deemed the state's response insufficient. The lawsuit argues the right to liberty includes the right to timely release from incarceration. And Paramount's Sonic the Hedgehog 3 zoomed past Disney's Mufasa the Lion King at the box office, debuting with $62 million. The Sonic franchise continues to thrive, while Mufasa fell short of expectations with $35 million. Sonic 3 boasts strong reviews and audience scores, positioning it well for the crucial holiday season. Lion King prequel, meanwhile, despite a star-studded voice cast, received mixed reviews.
WBSM Sports.
The Boston Celtics are in Florida to play the Orlando Magic tonight at 7. Bruins home at TD Garden to play the Washington Capitals also at 7 tonight. And the next Patriots game, it's going to be on Saturday, home with the Los Angeles Chargers. And we'll carry that for you live here on WBSM.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
A sunny Monday in store for us today, but we're maxing out near 25 degrees for a high. And that brings us to tonight. When a storm moves through, we have a chance for some snow showers, minor accumulations under an inch possible into Tuesday morning. And we wake up on Christmas Eve day with temperatures back in the seasonable area around the mid to high 30s. Expect clearing throughout the afternoon. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
They said there'll be snow at Christmas. They said there'll be peace on earth. But instead it just kept on raining. Oh, veil of tears for the virgin birth. I remember one Christmas morning, a winter's light and a distant choir.
So they said there'd be snow at Christmas, but there's snow right now, 2 days before Christmas. It's snow flurries coming down a little bit right now, but shouldn't amount to too much. Let's go back to the phones, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
What's shaking, Playboy?
Hey, I know it's not snowing where you are, Lamone.
It's far from snowing. Yeah, it's terrible. I wish we had some snow, but we're not expecting any kind of moisture or anything before the end of the year.
I could mail you some, but I don't think it would last by the time it got there.
Yeah, we'd use it too. We'd appreciate it. It's only 70 degrees today and partly cloudy.
Not bad.
And so, yeah, that's not bad at all. You know, it's going to be good. So I sent you a video. Did you see it?
I did, yes.
Okay, so I know, like, I sent you other videos. You take so long to see them. And I couldn't get the other ones to get sort of back to you, like that one particular one. Oh, geez. You're so bad, young man. So terrible.
Well, so I'll tell you the problem that I have is I have trouble getting stuff to load sometimes on my phone, and I got to wait till I get on the computer, and then I forget because my phone memory is full, so it gives me a lot of trouble playing things and sending messages and stuff. But I'm holding out because the new Galaxy comes out next month. So rather than go and get a phone that's about to be, you know, the not most recent, I'm holding out to get the most recent one.
Is that going to be a Samsung Galaxy?
Yeah, it's, what's it, the 25? I don't even know what they're calling it anymore. But the basically, like, if I went and got a new one, they were going to have a better phone coming out in, like, 3 months, so why bother getting a new one then? So but I've just been dealing with a full memory on my phone every day.
I could get an unlocked one, a brand new one, unlocked. You know, for any, use for any phone company
through nefarious means?
No, through actual from somebody from Samsung.
Well, maybe we'll have to talk then.
Yeah, then I think that'd be pretty good. And so, but if you already got your plan, I know I'm going to try to get another one. I'm still rocking my SG10. You know, because I've only got the plugs on the bottom, so I use my earbuds. So that's what, you know, since I got the pacemaker and stuff, so I don't want to have like use the wireless things that affect my pacemaker and whatnot. So did you talk about Ricky Henderson?
I did not, no. But I know that that was one that hit you pretty hard.
Yeah, I didn't say I cried, but I was really touched. And my daughters, at least one of my daughters, I hadn't talked to my middle daughter, and she was with me. We were all sad. And he's and you know, he died at 55 years old. And his birthday's on the day after tomorrow, on Christmas Day. He'd been 66.
Oh, wow.
And you think about it. He was young. He was still young, 65, 66. He died at a young age. Walter Payton, the sweetness was like, was 50 years old when he died. And seeing this, like, you see all these young people dying. I can't say it was because of COVID. I don't want to put that out there like that. But so that's kind of terrible. So did you see where they had? Did you see the trailer for Superman?
I did. I thought it looked really good.
Yeah, and if you look at it, it reminds me of the old, like, Christopher Reeves kind of Superman. You know what I mean? And if you when you see Superman, that S on there meant hope. And seeing a lot of people, you know, when they think of Superman, you think of hope. Even though we're down at the bottom, whatever the case may be, you know, Superman always brought hope, and he looks like Henry Cavill, but I hope they get Henry Cavill back out there because he's a great looking Superman, you know. But Christopher Reeve is the first one, and that's my favorite one, I guess. But this young guy, it's looking pretty good.
So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I get some calls coming in, but really quickly, I want to just ask you: Do you remember when Ricky Henderson was a member of the Red Sox?
Yeah, very briefly. He was. Was it like a? Was that like 2002?
Yep, 2002, and he actually played center field in some games and became the oldest player to ever play center field. But if I remember correctly, didn't he hit a home run in his first at bat? What, the Sox?
Yeah, I think he did. And see, he used to have the record for 81 home runs, you know, at the first at bat until Bagwell came around and did it. And Ricky Henderson said the reason why he didn't want to hit so many home runs, he liked it on the base and scare everybody. Because Ricky Henderson was off the hook. And it's like, oh, man, I'm just looking at some of his cards that I have. I got, like, his first ever cards when he was a rookie playing in Salt Lake City before he went to the majors in, like, 1979. Since I'm a grader, I see, like, the three of the cards I have are easily 10s, you know, SGC 10s. And I'm gonna see about getting them graded before the end of the year. And that would be really something fun to do. And I've got that my black Ricky Henderson bat, the game used bat, autographed by Nolan Ryan. You know why?
No.
Because I'm sure glad you asked. I've been going with Ricky Henderson with Nolan Ryan's 3,000 and 5,000 strikeout victims.
Oh, okay. And I got one. I got one more statistical thing for you before I got to let you go because I got some other calls.
Boy. But I'll one more for you too. All right. Let me throw mine off. Me too. All right. Ricky Henderson is one of three players to have three consecutive 100 stolen base seasons. Who's the other two? Now, one of them has four consecutive 100. But who's the other person?
I don't think I would know.
Vince Coleman. What do you think, Vince Coleman? He had it doing in the 16, 17, and 105. But no, but the person who had four straight 100 stone bases was Billy Hamilton from the 1880s. Not the Billy Hamilton. You have 1880s. So, okay. That's something to think about. Like
Here's my Ricky Henderson stat real quick.
Okay,
so
Blair.
From the time that Ricky Henderson debuted in June of 1979 through the end of the 2001 season, right? So right before he joined the Red Sox, Ricky Henderson himself had more stolen bases than the Red Sox had as a franchise.
Oh, I can believe that. You know, and that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, that is.
But like I said, the closest person to and stolen bases is Vince Coleman had 752 stolen bases, Rick Henderson 1400 and 9 stolen bases.
Yeah,
and he's got the more runs scored and more walks, even more than you remember how they were walking. Barry Bonds and bases loaded and stuff like that. Even because of that, you know, Ricky Henderson was the best leadoff player ever had.
Absolutely. I got to hold you there, though, Lamone. I got some other calls coming in.
God bless everybody out there, and may the good Lord smile upon all of you guys out there in the New Bedford area.
Thank you, sir.
May you guys get you some sleep, good rest, so Santa can come drop you guys and come by and visit you. Don't forget to give your parents a hug for me, okay?
Will do. All right.
Okay, brother.
Have a good one.
Hey, Phil. All right. God bless everybody out there.
All right. I got to hold him there. I got all kinds of.
Bye bye.
All right. I got all kinds of other calls coming in here. Hold on. And I got another call coming in here. So let me take a quick call here, and then I got to take a break, and then we'll finish off with the rest of the callers. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. Gilly Saffields.
What's going on?
I want to thank you for what you're doing right now. You're speaking for all the people that listen to this channel, and they're afraid to call in because they're going to be called names by your radio announcers. You're doing one hell of a job, okay?
Thank you, but I don't know who would be called names.
I've been called a maggot on your program, and other people have been called names and hung up on. So I'm glad you're bringing it out.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you approve of what I'm doing. I don't know what I did, but okay, I'll take it.
That's all I'm saying. There's a lot of people that don't call in because they fight. And I'll mention them. Chris, he's been calling people names and hanging up on them. And they're afraid to call in. So that's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I'm glad you're bringing it out.
First I've heard of it, but thank you for letting me know. All right. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
And callers, hang on. We will get to you, but I got to take a break. We'll be back in just a few moments. I can get both these calls in before the next break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, good morning, Tim. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Hey, I agree with your sentiment that Mr. Burgo or whatever can't do the homeless encampments and can't defund the police without the approval of everybody else. But the problem is, as the figurehead, right, we talk about like industry and businesses and coming in, people trying to come in and develop the city. As the figurehead of the city council, that's going to deter businesses from coming in. Because if you want to set up a business or if you want to invest in New Bedford, but you have the main guy at the city council who talks about defunding the police, what's the odds of you wanting to come in and invest in the city?
Well, if that's, you know, if that's what you make your decision based on, it shows that you don't know anything about the city and you haven't done your homework, so don't come here anyway then.
But okay, if that's how you want to look at it.
Well, because I think your example is not going to happen. It's not a real life example of something that would actually take place.
I'll give you a real life example right now of a developer that I heard at Housing Court this past Friday speaking to his attorney, who said that this is the last building he has in New Bedford and that he's selling off because it's too much of a hassle, and that these are buildings that he developed, not that he bought.
Okay, but what's the hassle? The hassle isn't who the city council president is. No, that's not a good example. You gave me an example of something that could be for any reason.
No, because of what's going on in the city and the bid, like the business. You have business owners who are trying to invest.
Is that what he said? Is that what he said? Did you hear him mention the bid in particular?
No, but you have.
No, because you don't know what he was talking about. He could have been talking about the tax rate. He could have been talking about the red tape.
He was talking about developing and building permits and all that. But that's another. But like,
so again, that's not the city council president.
Let me give you another example. You have people who are trying to come into the city who are reluctant to do so because of the people who are in place in government. I always use the example of Fall River because it's the most similar to New Bedford. Look at how beautiful Fall River is becoming. Look at the development that is going on in Fall River. Why is that going on? Because they are business friendly, because they work together to grow the city. There's a lot of divisiveness around here. I agree. Like, you know, having him as the president, he has to answer to people. He has to answer to the body. I understand that. However, as the figurehead, right, people start questioning if these are the people that they put in place, is that what I want to invest in? And that's where business owners, developers, people who are going to come in and help.
Fall River had a mayor who went to jail for corruption, and people were still investing in that city. So I don't. You're giving false equivalencies here.
But why were they investing in Fall River? Why? Is
because the tax rate was lower than New Bedford. That's what it all came down to. The bottom line was the tax rate was lower. They didn't care about anything else that was going on in the city except for the tax. They couldn't even name a city councilor in Fall River when they started that business, when they went in there to do it. It's because the tax rate is lower.
Okay, so the technology park that the mayor proposed in New Bedford, right? We had not one person that came in and was interested in that. Fall River did the same thing. The day that John Mitchell was speaking that he was going to propose that in Fall River, they were cutting the red tape or the ribbon or whatever. The same exact day.
Because their tax rate is lower. That's what it comes down to for these businesses.
Okay, if you say so. I have to disagree. I just hear a lot of people that are reluctant to invest in the city because of all the red tape, because of all
the drama. But the red tape has nothing to do with the politics of Shane Burgo.
It does.
It doesn't. What does his politics have to do with the permitting process in New Bedford?
Because he is the figurehead. Why do you want?
He's not a figurehead. He runs the council meetings. He appoints people to committees. I'm done with this conversation. I got to take a break.
You're always done.
All right. Yeah, you're done now. All right, I got to take this break. I'm trying to get other callers in while you're rambling on with things that don't even make sense to your point. You're trying to make a point and you don't have one, like normally happens. We'll be right back. All right, let's try and get in as many as we can before the end of the show. Good morning. You're next on WBSM. Hello, you're on the air. Hello. It's on. Are you there? There you are. How about now?
Hey, how's it going?
There we go.
So, do you think it's appropriate for a city councilor to call the police because someone shares their opinion online or perceived opinion? Because I didn't write that article, right? But yet she attacked me personally and calls the police and says, Carlos Felix is harassing me. He calls local radio and talks about me. He shows up at meetings and attends meetings regularly. I'm afraid for my life. And she uses official letterhead, costing the taxpayer money, when meanwhile she has access to the radio like anyone else, and she could come on y'all's show and be a guest at pretty much any time, I believe. Yeah. Why doesn't she take up the phone and let people ask her the questions directly? Because there are a lot of people in Ward 2 that are dissatisfied with her leadership and what she's allowing to happen in those neighborhoods.
Well, I did.
So why don't we set that up and have her answer some questions to the constituents? Calling the police and using official letterhead to go after a journalist or even just a regular citizen. I think that's a little inappropriate.
And I did extend the invitation for her to come on this morning, but she says that she is not available.
Well, she'd be asked questions. She'd be put on the spot. She'd have to answer the hard questions. Of course she's not going to come on. You know, she'd rather just use official letterhead because it's intimidating, put it out there in hopes that a few people will cover it without actually looking into things. And if you do a quick search online, you'll see who the CDC caters to in black and white. Okay? This isn't something that happened overnight. This is something that's been happening for close to 15 years now. They've been aiding.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.